Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Face Us with Robin and Lulu. I'm Robin.
I am Lulu.
And you're listening to Face Us with Robin and Lulu. Tonight, we've got a great show for you. We are hosting Peggy Dupre. And
the episode today is May 16th, 2018, and we want to let everybody know that. So when every time they want to find our post that they can, they'll know which one they're listening to. So we always want to make sure we put the date on them. Okay?
Oh, are you talking to me or our listeners?
I'm talking to both. Okay. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Like we said, you're listening to Face Us, Families Against Court Embezzlement and Ethical Standards, Face Us. And we're going to be getting on with the show. We're actually going to be talking about this morning. We're going to be talking about how we went to the Judicial Performance Commissioner last night, didn't we?
They had a meeting in Boulder, Colorado, and we were had the pleasure of attending, and it was quite an experience. I think that we were able to really help to enlighten them about some things that they really didn't have any idea about. I think that's something that you find quite commonly if you begin to once you've seen what really goes on in the court, and you realize how much unethical standards there are and how much embezzlement and how much crime really goes on under cover of legitimacy of color of law, you realize how broken it is. And oftentimes the people that are in there doing their job, trying to do their job to present to the public good information about judges, don't realize that they themselves are being manipulated. And there was a lot of voices there that were there to say, you may not realize it, but you are being used. The Judicial Performance Commission has for some years been manipulating data. This is something that a gentleman named Peter Coulter talked about. Now, there was a time when it was when he did some investigation, and they told him, well, all of these people were excluded from receiving these surveys, and he checked with a statistics professor and found that it was I can't remember the number, but it was an astronomical, up in the billions or maybe trillions to one chance that it was a statistical anomaly that all of these people were being excluded from these surveys. And so he presented that evidence and showed how oftentimes these things are manipulated, and that they have been in the past, and that the evidence suggests that and shows that. We also brought to their attention some of the information about some of the families that we have on our radio show. You may be one of them if you're tuned in tonight.
Yeah.
And you know that these courts are oftentimes not not ethical places, not moral places, but places where criminals are harbored in nice suits and dresses. I mean,
right.
they are able to pretend right. that they're doing something legitimate and honest and upright when
really?
It is the farthest thing from it.
Yeah,
and I think it was a real eye opener for
It was awesome. I mean, we had I actually went up and spoke first, and I think I opened it up quite well. And then they gave us 10 minutes to speak, which is very rare.
That was
amazing.
Great,
anyway,
was
we got up.
Grateful.
Yeah, we got up and we spoke, and we talked about all the corruption in the courts and the judges that are up for retention. It was amazing to just get up there and let it all hang out. We really told them what was going on. Then Robin went up there, and it was amazing. I actually posted part of his video up onto our website. It's Faces with Robin and Lulu, and it's not Families Against Court Embezzlement and Ethical Standards Face Us. And it's up on Facebook. You can find the videos that we posted. I'll be posting Peter Coulter's also that he did also at that meeting. And it talks, and I didn't get the beginning of the videos, but I got pretty much of the video. So very interesting subjects about the retention of judges. So you really want to listen to that, why we're having such a big problem in Colorado and other states. I'm sure this is going on in other states. But we've uncovered a lot of information. And then Peter Coulter went up and did his video or his talk. He was awesome at that about the retention of judges. Then Chris
Peter Coulter, of course, has the organization
called transparentcourts@gmail.com. You can reach him there, but it's awesome. Transparent Courts.
Is Peter Coulter's organization. Right. Now, Chris Forsythe is a Denver attorney, an attorney in Colorado, here in Colorado, who some years ago became aware that the courts were, had become tainted with a degree of unprofessionalism, I guess would be probably a word that he might select to say, when he realized that he was in court one day and he saw this judge lie to the court, and he had either had a case or knew of a case where a defendant had lied to the court and gotten 3 years, and he, of course, the judge had no consequence for lying to the court. What happened to that judge was he got moved up in the judicial system.
He actually became a Supreme Court justice, didn't he?
One of the Supreme Court justices.
But I posted a lot on our site today. It's really good information, and you'll see what is really goes on behind the scenes. And us being up in Boulder yesterday, we told them that there was a lot of families up there in probate court that could not speak and were afraid to even speak to them in the court because, get this, this is what they do. They have a public meeting, right?
Right.
This is for people
to come and tell the judicial performance commissioners about the judges that they're evaluating. So you think, well, that sounds like a good thing. They're, you know, asking for public comment. That's great. All these people that maybe do have a problem with a judge can go and talk to someone about it who has the power to make recommendations whether to retain that judge or not. But let me tell you how that works, because if you do go there, they tell you when you walk in the room, all right, we are going to need your name and address and telephone number, and we are going to share anything that you say about any of these judges with those judges. They will hear it.
Right.
So
what's the problem with that, okay?
Putting a person in a position where if they have a complaint about a judge that they are facing, then they must let that judge know their name, address, telephone number, and the exact complaint, along with the Judicial Performance Commission, who's responsible for the performance of that judge. The first thing the commission's going to do is give that information to the judge. So, of course, if you have any serious complaint with a judge because he's not acting like a judge should, because you're being abused in that court, you're being mistreated, there's not justice, he's not defending your rights, he's violating your constitutionally guaranteed God-given rights, taking your property, giving it to someone else, if you don't like it and you speak up in the courtroom, well, that judge will usually sanction you. You might wind up in contempt of court, get jail time for that, or a big fine.
Right.
I know one person that got $5 million fine because she wouldn't take down a website that said I was abused in this court.
Right.
And so the consequences that a judge can impose on someone are unlimited, really.
Right.
And that means if you are brave enough to stand up there and tell the Judicial Performance Commission what they need to hear to be able to do their job, to evaluate that judge, if you're able to tell them that, well, you are risking just telling the judge that you're telling them and telling the world. And, of course, that judge has the power to retaliate viciously.
Right, but
we all know that judges do.
Right.
They're human.
Right.
They'll retaliate if they don't like what you're doing.
And we also had a couple people that did come out of the audience, out of the people that were abused. These were some probate victims that did come out and speak.
That's right.
And they backed up everything that Rob and I had to say, the Judicial Integrity Project, the Transparent Court. So these 10 people of a panel, Judicial Performance Commissioners, they got an earful. I mean, it was amazing.
They have a much better understanding of many of the flaws that are going on in the court.
Right.
And whether or not they're going to be able to do much to address those things, well, that remains to be seen.
Right.
In general, they are it's a paper tiger. They don't really have any power. They don't have the power to investigate the judges that they're determining whether to recommend or not.
Mm-hmm.
They have no power to ask for any records of any discipline on that judge or any traffic violations by that judge,
mm-hmm.
or if whether that judge has had a DUI or not, whether that judge is, you know, whatever.
Right.
They have none of that is available to them or the public.
Right.
So people are not able to truly have any good information to evaluate judges. And the information that they're provided by the judicial performance commissioners basically comes mostly from the judge.
Right.
Who puts their own little resume together and says, this is why everyone should love me. And then the attorneys also get surveys to grade the judge, so to speak. But I know what that means. These attorneys know that they go before that judge every time they're doing their job day by day, year by year. If they want to have a job, they can't do anything that would really anger that judge, so they can't be candid in any evaluation that they give, lest it come back upon them and that judge be aware that it was them that was criticizing them,
right.
And therefore they're run out of the legal profession, as I've seen. I've talked to lawyers who said, I have to quit the legal profession because the judges are unethical.
Right. We've had some, attorneys come on that have been sanctioned, too.
Right.
So we also have to look at attorneys as there are some really good attorneys out there. I've run into quite a few ourselves.
There sure are.
And they are just as scared of the system as we are.
Well, they're under threat, like anyone in that court.
Right.
Anyway,
I also wanted to bring up one more thing, and before we bring Peggy Dupree on and Marcy, but I wanted to talk about how I used a big board, a bulletin board, and I put all the cases up there of who the attorneys were and everything. I have front and back done on a huge poster board, brought that with me and said, you can't tell me we don't have a problem. These are all the cases that have been abused in probate court.
And these are only the ones that said to us, yes, you may use
right.
my information. It is all right for you to take
right.
my information to those who are empowered to be able to take action on it.
Right, so something very visual really helps when you're presenting something. It really does, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah, it does,
mm-hmm.
because it makes it more than just a voice. It makes it clear that there is real data backing it up. We've got, you know, we don't have to bring a big stack of paperwork if we bring
right.
a summary and say, you want to see the big stack of paperwork? We've got it. We can show you. But people, you know, and I mean, now certain individuals are interested in a big stack of paperwork.
Right.
If you're taking it to an investigating officer sometimes who really wants to know the story,
right.
they'll want to know.
Right.
You know, they sometimes will take some of that information.
So we got Marcy coming on with us, and they're going to bring our guest on, which is Peggy Dupree. And, boy, she's got a lot of information for us tonight. And we also were told that the League of Women Voters might be listening tonight, which we really do welcome them.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. I'm glad that you were listening. We just wanted to put that out for you. We appreciate all of our listeners that tune in.
And for those of you who are listening online and would like to participate in the conversation at some point, the way that you do that is you dial 845-241-9962. That number, again, is 845-241-9962, and you can press a 1. That'll raise your hand and let us know that you'd like to join in the conversation, that you have a question or a comment for our guest or for ourselves.
All right. So we're going to move on to Marcy. Are you with us?
I'm with you. How's everybody
Hi,
tonight?
Well,
how you doing?
Congratulations on this that you guys are doing, and I think if we can create a cell for, you know, are able to do that in different courts, that would be great. Because
yes.
you're just getting it out there. And I would say that I know, and all judges are not bad. I have friends that are judges myself.
Right.
And they are ethical. And I'm hoping that this next judge that I come on to will definitely see the clarity of everything.
Yes.
But at the same time, for those judges that we have experienced in the past that didn't do well for our loved ones, there's got to be some consequence because,
yeah,
you
really.
Know, your mother suffered, Peggy's son is suffering, my mother is suffering, even though she may not know it. So therefore, it's so hard to see your loved one going through this abuse that, I mean, why would make another human being have the right to allow that? And I'm not only talking about a judge, I'm talking about attorneys that allow it.
Right.
And I think that it doesn't, they just got to know that everybody's onto it and people, it's going to continue to grow and people are becoming more and more aware because those that are not afraid to stand up to righteousness and for justice are going to continue to talk because it's been painful to our loved ones and wrong
right.
has been done. So
exactly.
I think that the more you get it out there, retaliation should not be a part of this whole process because that's inflicting pain on ourselves. That's inflicting pain for the caring party of
right.
the ward. And it's just a vicious cycle that it needs to end, and it needs to end. And I know that God's hand is on it because
yes.
I see all of you. It's a drive, a journey, something that God has put inside of us that we're just not going to stop to try to protect our loved one. It's
mm-hmm.
who's
no.
going to give up? You're not going to give up. Peggy's not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. And none of those that have been victimized are not going to give up. It's just not going to happen. So these
yeah,
people
we,
really
yeah.
have to come to terms with themselves. And it's like, you know, if I'm going to put my hand inside the boiling water, you know, I may get burned. And because, mm-hmm. or the cookie jar, however you want to call it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And like I said again, I'm not naming anybody. I'm not judging anybody. But those that have been hurt by the consequences of a guardianship should not be afraid to speak up because we have
right.
been hurt. We have been wounded, and our loved one has been wounded. And more so, it's a vulnerable person who
right.
who they're not in the right mind.
I know.
And that they prowl on the weak, and that's even more abuse, I think.
I remember from my youth when I was a young kid, and I looked around and I saw how in the schoolyard there were certain kids that got picked on. There were certain kids who were bullies
mm-hmm.
that would pick on other kids. And I, you know, I wasn't unusually strong or unusually big. I wasn't unusually small either. I wasn't getting picked on much. But it really hurt me to see other kids get picked on, and I hated it. And that's when I started POW, Protectors of the Weak. And I founded that organization
yeah.
to help those that were being bullied. And I called them all in the room, and out of about 15 that I called and said, come to my house, there were 7 that showed up, and I sat down and I said, look, this is the last day you'll ever be bullied. And they said, and my friend Ron Wilcox said, oh, yeah, what are you going to do about it?
This is a great story, guys.
And I laughed, and I said, look, this is what you're, it's not what I'm going to do, it's what you're going to do. The next time somebody picks on you, I want you to put a fist in front of your face, get a real serious look on your face, and tell them, you better be careful, because I'm a member of POW.
And you know what?
And they'll laugh and say, POW, it's POW. I'm so scared. Say, POW, for people, I can't tell how many there are, but there's a lot of us. And we have all pledged that whenever any one of us is picked on by someone like you, all of us will pay you back. And the day will come when all of us will find you, track you down. You won't see it coming. You won't know it's coming, but we'll catch you, and we'll get you back and pay you back.
You know what's funny about that?
Yeah.
I remember that because I was in second grade all the way up through, what, ninth grade with you, Roland?
Yeah,
that's good.
That's right. And it worked amazingly. I mean, really, truly, I saw kindergartners that were hanging on to their lunch money instead of giving it up to the sixth graders. It was really
good.
It was a good thing.
So anyway, that's an amazing story because now you're basically protectors of the weak again.
Oh, I know. I never changed much. That's the same
you're
kid
still
that grew
protecting.
Let's get to our show. Let's get to our guest.
We got a guest that we're going to bring on. Her name is Peggy Dupree. Now, she has had a son that was taken away. She had guardianship of her son in Collier County, Florida, and we've all heard of that before. That's where Karen Federici had to, she left from, and we've got a lot of victims down there that are speaking up down there, so we want to get to Peggy. Peggy, you with us?
Good evening.
Hi, Peggy.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome.
Appreciate you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
But we've pretty curious about what's going on. I know that you wanted to come on and talk about pro se litigants and what you can do to protect, you know, your evidence. For our listeners, why don't you go ahead and talk about how you got involved a little bit here. You know, don't talk about your case too much, but just a little bit that you can talk about.
Okay, well, when we first start out, you know, everyone knows that I'm still a guardian over my son, but he got taken away without probable cause. Well, we went through 400 attorneys trying to obtain. Only five would take us, but then they got threatened, so they dropped me before I started this group, and I started doing pro se because I realized there is a few attorneys, like you said, that want to advocate for us, but they're being threatened, and they won't do it, or they'll lose their career. So this is how I became a pro se, learning as much as I can about the law as fast as I can, and I'm hoping tonight I can share this information to help other people to have their courage to come up and start doing pro se's and start groups in their own areas like we have in Collier County. You know, I'm trying to encourage people because they are victims and they're scared, you know, to be retaliated against, which I have been through the courts, but that does not stop me. I'm not going to stop.
Peggy,
I think that one of the things that has made it difficult to fight back is that people are too intimidated to fight, that they do get scared and they do want to back down and they want to find a lawyer to hide behind because they're scared to go to court without one. And they are afraid to tell their lawyer, look, you do it my way or you're fired. And that doesn't work, too, because the lawyer will then go to the judge and say, well, they're firing me, but I'm going to need my legal bill of $27,000 paid, so I'll just put that into the court and you can decide whether to pay.
And not only that, but on a lot of cases that we've seen, this is really disturbing to me, is that you will pay for an attorney $10,000, $20,000, $90,000, $100,000, $500,000, and you won't get anywhere with that. Then before you know it, they'll send a bill in to the judge, and he'll okay to come after your own property. You know, after they write back the trust.
And the way that scam usually works is you spend all your money on an attorney. The attorney proves to be worthless and accomplishes little or nothing on your behalf in the court. And the money that you've spent is wasted, and the money that you were trying to recoup by spending all that money on that expensive attorney is also in the court still and still being squandered and still being wasted and still being handed over to attorneys and guardians and conservators and guardian ad litems and anything the court can cook up to use your money to pay their people. They do. And so you find yourself in this situation, and then you say, this is absolutely horrifying. I hired this person and they just ripped me off for however much I paid, $60,000, $80,000, $130,000, just ripped me off, gave me nothing. I didn't get any legal representation that was real or meaningful. So you start to bitch about it. You tell your friends. You call up a radio station and say, this is what's going on. And next thing you know, they're going to the judge with a defamation of character suit against you, saying that you're saying bad things about them and you need to pay a big suit for that. And next thing you know, they're coming after your house insurance and your personal money that you didn't spend on that lawyer. Now it's going to go to the lawyer because the judge rules in their favor. Says, oh, that evil person bad-mouthing you, you sweet attorney.
Yeah.
You know, it's a horrifying scam.
It's a
rigged game that's really horrific.
But we've heard so many different stories with our group, and it gets more and more terrifying every day. But the best thing we can say, personally, is try to do everything pro se because, you know, I think you're going to get...
Which brings us back around
Which brings
us
back to Peggy. Okay, so Peggy, go ahead and continue.
Okay, I started, having to learn because I couldn't find an attorney. So anyway, with that note, this is what I started doing. I started going every day to the law library and learning as much as I can. Listening to attorneys, too, is very good to listen to them arguing back and forth in the law library. And then I found the legislation claim bill, some of the process. You know, I talked a little bit about it last time I was on your show about what we had to do. You know, I first had to do the petition, a notice of intentions of filing, and then I did a notice of the publication, and then I did a petition to the Florida legislation to let them know what was taking place. And then the next step I did was I did an order to the judge informing him what was going on, and then I did a demand letter, and they had 30 days to act on it. And then I did another order telling judge they didn't follow through on it, which makes me look great and helping, you know, build your case. And then after you do your legal demand letter, you give them 30 days. You send it restricted. You can send it certified, but I recommend doing restricted because you want their signatures, because when you go to the U.S. District Courts, U.S. Supreme Court, they require you to have that green card. If you don't have it, you don't have the evidence, you send it. They dismiss it. And then what I'm learning is how to preserve evidence for proceeds. If what you want to do is you want to put an order into the judge and you want to put a litigation hold, it's called, on everything you file, even when you got to be very clever when they do this. They come in with evidence, you take their evidence, and you put it in your litigation hold and use it against them like I've been doing, and they hate me down here. Okay, I learned how to do that. And then what you have to do is you want to wait the last minute to do your expert witness, any doctors, psychiatrists, or anything that would help you in your case. You want to wait 30 days before you put it in. You know, wait the last day if you have to. It helps protect you. And then you want to look up your doctor's case laws, because when you do your expert, you're going to have to do your case law with that, and then when you do the order. And then what you want to do is you do your court report, but you do 30 days too. Wait before you know you're going to the Supreme Court. You hit them up with the court report, okay, because you already got them back on the demand letter because they didn't do it. So you're great. You're excelling there. So then you have 30 days. Wait until the end to do that. And you put your expert testimony and you give a detail of the facts of what happened in the case. Just like a DCF worker would do, or a doctor would do, or the police department would do, that's what you do. That will help your case and build your case. And you want to make sure that when you do all of these things I'm telling you, make sure you put litigation hold on the upper right-hand side. The Supreme Court requires it to be on your upper right-hand side with court of records, because anything that judge sees, it has to be court of records, or he doesn't have to enter in as evidence. So that's very important to remember.
Wow, that's good information.
So
wow.
What
do you put litigation hold?
Okay, what you want to do there is you want to make sure that any documents they file, you can take their evidence. You want to make sure the tapes they bring in or tapes you bring in, you put in litigation hold. Any videos, anything you can use against them, you put it in that litigation hold. Therefore, if they come in, say, and they, like they did me one, and I beat them a few months ago on this because they didn't realize I knew all this stuff. So they came in with a lot of false evidence, right? Well, I was able to collect their evidence because they violated the Fourth Amendment and how they seized the information, so I got them on that. So the judge had to grant me all their evidence into my pile, which really sent – I just beat one of the most profile attorneys in the Southwest Florida, and they're very angry with me. I'm very tickled pink about this because there's very criminal people. Let me just tell you, I can't say no names, but anyway, it was funny as hell. excuse me. But you have to learn the ins and outs to use them, because these people is going to do everything they can to do anything you ask. You have to learn little tricks of the trade and loopholes to get over that so they can't dismiss you in emotion. That's very important to remember, and you never want to give your evidence to a third party without a disclosure, because then they can be a whistleblower, they can do anything to it, and let's just say it was stolen and you didn't know it and you didn't have this litigation hold, your case is going to get dismissed. You have to protect your, by putting that litigation hold, you're reserving your evidence, you know, it's so critical to do that.
Wow, that's good information. It really
is. Information.
Yes.
I have it, but I have to sort of wait until next show because I'm sort of using it. I just discovered I read like thousands of different Supreme Court cases, and I found really some good ones to give you next time, Luann. But I have to sort of keep that for me because I'm using those tactics right now on the cases. But that's where we're at, and we have went from point A to we're almost to point Z now because we're excelling, and they're hating it because we're beating them in every different way. So I'm trying to teach others, and one of the reasons I want to come on tonight is to share my information and keep teaching and keep encouraging people to go proceed. And we're trying to get the team together in Florida because our first group is already at the end of what we're going to do, and we're trying to get the second group to go together because I have got the doors open for them with my publication, and I put the 20th Circuit Court, which I covered, Lee, Collier, Glade, Charlotte County, Henry County, any of those counties that have cases and they want to follow me, I have the doors open. But my next step, they may close it within 2 or 3 weeks. So please look me up, see how I worded everything, and it will protect you in your case and help you along. And my next venture, I'm trying to help other people. And Luann, I got some things I want to talk to you after the show because I just was contacted this afternoon by a lady that wants to sponsor me and get us on all these different TV shows. And I thought about you because I know you have a big group out there in Colorado, and I was telling her about you. So we want to link up with you. We want to see how we can help you because once I do this second phase, I'm hoping to help many other people, not just in the state of Florida.
Good.
Right.
Good.
That'd be great.
Amen.
Yes.
That's awesome. We'll talk after the show. We always do.
Yeah.
Good information.
So, you know, I do have, yeah. And, you know, one thing. Go ahead.
I want to know this information that you're giving, it's excellent information, and I just want to see if I understand, if I'm getting it right, and I understand what you're saying. Now, this litigation hold court of record, this is something that you are handwriting on to the actual documents that you're putting into the court, or is it a separate piece of paper that goes with those documents, or...
It's a separate piece of paper. Your litigation hold, we'll talk about your case. I can send Luann, I'm fixing to get a phone on, I'm relocating. You know, once I get my scanner, I'm going to send you guys samples because I want to teach everybody as many as I can about the process. Now, your case may be a little bit different. I can guide you on how to word things, and you would do an order with that litigation. And remember, each time you do that litigation hold, you have to go in front of the court and say, you know, I'm proceed. Representing myself and everything today, I'd like to be put in my litigation hold because he won't put it in the vault. If you do not say that at the beginning and you already do your order, they are not allowed to do that. So it's very critical to remember each time you go to your hearings to say, I've already put my order in for my litigation. I would like this evidence, Your Honor, a magistrate, to be put in the vault as well.
Wow. That's good information.
Wow. That's really, isn't that sad that we go to court to protect a loved one and all these games are going on? And all we want is like, I want my mother, you want your son. That's all we want. But what has been mind-boggling to me, because I've been fighting this since 2011, why? Do they keep on doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it?
Money,
it's not beneficial.
When you're in the park at night and there's a drug addict, why do they hit you over your head and take your wallet?
You know, it's like,
yeah. But they're taking the money out of our loved ones, the vulnerable ones.
After our loved ones, they know that we'll fight to the end and like
the mentally incapacitated.
Marriage and takes a bottle from them.
You know,
well,
and
it's not going to bring them. It's going to bring them tragedy. That's
right.
What I can say. Whoever does that to an elder person or someone like Peggy's son, believe me, I was in prayers and meditation with God. And you know what psalm came to mind? And I never heard of the psalm. Psalm 10. I go in and looked it up. Look up Psalm 10. 10. 10. Psalm 10. And then I go, I trust in you, God. This happened in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep. I was meditating to God, and Psalm 10 came on. Look it up.
We will. Wow, our board is starting to light up here. We've got callers that are coming in. Peggy, what else do you want to say, or do you want to take in a call?
I got more information. You just tell me how much you want me to give you tonight, how much, you know, I could just go on all night with you if you want to, but I don't want to overload people, but, you know, just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll tell you.
Wow, I'm all ears, man. I really like listening to what you have to say, and how far you've come is amazing. I remember when you first contacted our group and asked if you knew anybody from Colorado County. I said, well, I know a couple, you know, and then we start putting this together, and I think it's come out very well so far, don't you think?
Yeah, we're excelling. Yeah, we're making progress. Well,
yeah,
people didn't
good.
Think that we would make it, but you got to remember the determination. All three of us women are very intelligent, and we're determined. And I think what they try to do, Luann, is they try to isolate you, detach you from other people, and make you think that you have all these problems, you know, like mental.
They do try to do that.
You know, last time I went to court, they tried to force me to take a mental evaluation, and, you know, it's really crazy the things that they try to do to discredit what you're doing, and you just have to stand tall. You have to let them play their role or what they're doing and be very professional, because what they do is they try to get you to insult you to where you're going to lash back out, and that's what they want to do. So then they can characterize you as having a mental problem, so the judge will order you a psych evaluation. So that day I knew what they were doing. I didn't play into their hands. So you have to remember that, because you don't have an attorney. You're there by yourself, and they're going to do everything they can to bring you down. And you have to stay strong at all times, and you have to sort of detach yourself away from the case. Like with my son, he's my firstborn. So when I have to go in there, I have to pretend I'm someone else. This is not really happening to me, and I'm defending someone else. You have to, it's a mindset you have to go in and be strong, because if you attach yourself, you'll break, and you have to remember not to do that.
Right. Wow, that's some good
information. And I noticed that they think evil, too. They think of how they're going to get you. And you're right, Peggy, because we're there with our heart, but they're there with their mind as the game. To win and to take away more money.
Right.
You and I just want what's best for our loved one. So you really, I saw that. I learned from last time, that one attorney. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But I intimidated her back.
I think I'm going to try to get Retta Daniels back on. I think she's out in Virginia, but she came on with Michael Volpe, and I tell you what, they come after her for mental evaluations and everything. Well, she is ending her career as an attorney, and now she's going to go after him. This is really going to get exciting. I'm going to keep following her, but we have to really listen to these attorneys nowadays that are also being sanctioned, because this isn't right. It's not right that they're trying to defend people and then they get sanctioned for doing their job. I think it's horrible. But the good thing about the Judicial Integrity Project with Chris Forsythe, he's out in the open. You know, he does such a good job and telling everybody what goes on. He's very professional. There's just some really cool attorneys out there, you know, that we applaud for doing that for us. But anyway, we're opening our phone lines. I know we've had some callers on there waiting. to come on. And if you still want to call in, the number is 1-845-241-9962. That's again 845-241-9962. Press a 1 and we'll know that you want to come live on the air. And if you're too scared to say your name, that's okay. You can use whatever name you want. If you want to, if you want to say your name, go ahead. We appreciate it. You know, either way, I'm going to take
we'll
in a call.
We'll call you whatever you like, or call you nothing at all, and just listen to your comments whatever
you prefer. Area code 239.
So don't be afraid to call, and let's hear from you.
239. You're on the air.
Hi, welcome to the show. Hello.
239.
Area code 239. You're on the air. Okay, looks like they're not live. Okay, we'll try area code 608. You're on the air. Hello?
608.
Yes. This is Kelly Brand.
Yes.
Hi. I wanted to speak to the commentary about the court hearing thing. I just wasn't sure if the court systems are different in Florida than they are in Wisconsin, and what is the difference between what court you would go through? Is it like a federal court, or the court that ordered the placements of the individuals that she would file?
For me? Hello, Kelly. You would have to go through the court that ordered it. You'd have to go back there.
Yes, because there's another hearing coming up June 11th. They had a hearing in April, but they didn't tell me about that one. And I think they really don't want me to know about the June one, but I've been told by the register and probate, and I don't know how that's going to go when I show up, because I don't think they'll be too happy I show up.
You need to get someone that you need to write an order to get Scott in there. I can call you after. I can call you tomorrow and tell you who you should get. Maybe we can get to help you on Skype to help you with your case.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, and Kelly, tell us what's happening on your case. Isn't this about your son? That's what state are you in again? I know I've heard some
Wisconsin.
Cases. Yeah, Wisconsin. That's it. About how they took your son in, and they have guardianship at Dungarvan. How do you pronounce that? Dungarvan, or how do you spell that?
Dungarvan.
Dungarvan. That's it.
It's Dungarvan Inc. But when they're in each state, they go by the name of the state, and they also go by the name of the cities. So my son is in a home in Dungarvan, and it's called Dungarvan, Milwaukee.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Dungarvan, Milwaukee. I can hook you two up. You know, I don't know if you two have each other's numbers, but I'll give you each other's
phone
numbers.
Yeah, we know each other.
Oh, you do?
We know each other.
Oh, good. Yeah, if anybody wants to get a hold of Peggy, and you don't, how can they get a hold of you, Peggy? Do you want them to go through me, or how do you want that to happen?
Yeah, go through you, sort of screen them. I'm looking for I know Kelly, she's different, but I'm looking for people in Florida because we're trying to get this claim bill going, and then we want to talk to your group to see if you're interested in it because we want to get other states involved. But we need people that want to be pro-C and be active and try to – if I jumpstart them, I want them to try to do some things on their own, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm in the middle of things that I have to be take care of first, like this litigation for us, but I do want to help others.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so nice, Peggy.
It'll be really interesting to see how far you go, and if this all comes out, that'll be a big breakthrough, won't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of exciting to see stuff happening. You know, when we started this out like 4 or 5 to 8 years ago, you know, the nation's come some ways. You know, we've got stuff going on, I guess, with Dr. Sugar about he's got some major film people coming in. So, you know, I can see the progression of all the guardianship and the court stuff all coming around. Even our own Supreme Court justice is stepping down. She's going to be stepping down next month. And there's, I guess his name is Ben Coates, Supreme Court Ben Coates, who's supposed to be a really nice guy. He's coming on there. So I'm hoping we see some big changes in Colorado. It's been a long haul. I mean, we've got a really strong team out here, which I'm very proud of. And I run to these guys all the time when I want information, and they've been there for us, you know. But we really like that people are coming together and speaking up. I mean, you have to speak up about these things nowadays.
You have to.
You can't, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and
it's self-respect.
Listen, you're out there, you've got information.
It's self-respect
that you
to get up.
Right.
You feel like it would be good if you spoke up. You feel like this is information that you've got to get out. But you're afraid. There is no shame in doing it anonymously. You can see, actually went to the legislature in masks when we were discussing some of these issues. With the legislature, there were several members of a group that we knew that went in to talk to the legislators and didn't want to reveal their names and addresses and phone numbers and who they were, because they knew that they were dealing with very powerful attorneys and very wicked activities that these people could be dangerous and they could retaliate against them in numerous ways. They could harm loved ones that were under the care of some guardian, or they could harm do worse damage to the family in terms of dividing them more, taking more assets than they already had, causing more suffering than they already had. So these people can be very vicious, and when you go up against them, they're not going to be friendly to you. Of course, they're not going to be friendly anyway, which is why you should oppose them. But if it's too risky for you to oppose them openly, don't feel ashamed about opposing them secretly and hiding your involvement. That's how a lot of Jews were able to get out of Germany, was there were people who were hiding them and sneaking them out and lying to all the authorities about it. So, because they didn't want them to kill their friends. So, you know, this. I want you to understand, when you're on the right side, you're on the right side. When you're doing what is just and fair and true, these things are good. This is good. If they call you a criminal because you are doing good, hey, you're in good company. I think that's what happened to Jesus.
I think when they call you a criminal or they call you a vain, it's because it's projection. That's what they're seeing in the mirror.
Right, yeah.
They're talking about themselves. Or they're using reverse psychology.
Right.
That's how they intimidate you.
Someone who is a sociopath, who is set on destroying others, harming others,
mm-hmm.
Will tell every lie in the book, and they will... One of the things that they do is... Every crime that they do to someone, they accuse that person that they're doing crimes to of being a criminal, of doing evil, of doing wicked. So when you come into the courts like this, really it's like an institutional sociopath, because you have these individuals that come to the court and lie about you. Say, oh, he raped his mother. He went off and beat up several people.
Yeah.
And of course, there's no evidence of any of that. There's no police report. There's nobody except the colluders that are saying, oh, yeah, that's what it happened. Yeah, yeah, sure. What he said. What did he tell you? Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, sure. And it's all, the word that comes to mind they'll try to avoid, but it's bunk. It's a lot of bunk.
Oh, Robin, you're too good tonight, I tell you.
And the reality is that these people have no moral compass. They don't care what it is that they do to you. They only care about the results that they get for themselves and their own sources, their own needs are being met. That's really all they care about. They don't care about you at all. They don't care about your mama. They don't care about your daddy. They don't care about your cousin, your sister, nobody.
They just want your money.
They just want your money. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At any cost.
I think
that eventually you can only get away with doing so much, and then something's gonna pop. You know, somebody's gonna see. It's like I meet my mother and Burger King to have a piece for lunch, and then he follows me to Burger King and says, you are harassing your grandmother. We are aware of your behavior. And I go, you weren't even there. The reason why I don't go to your place is because that is how you treat me. But they don't see it. It's just there's something like...
It's character assassination, and they're just trying to make you look bad so they look good. And that's just so typical.
Exactly.
In all these cases, and all these hundreds of cases Robin and I have heard, we've talked about, that's in every single case, the character assassination. I'm making you look bad to make me look good, and this goes on all the time.
It's extremely common. I mean, it's unusual about that. I don't know if it's in every single case, but it's in a vast majority.
It's in the vast majority,
and,
for sure. We've had that happen in our case. We look bad all the time.
We were driving away from your mother. We'd gone to visit her against the wishes of her so-called caretakers. And they called the police and told them we were armed and dangerous and had drugs and all this stuff. And they pulled us over. There were 7 cop cars there. They came out with guns and said, put your hands where we can see them. Do you have any weapons in the car? And Luann said, well, if you consider an ice scraper a weapon, I guess I do.
They had us, my hands up against the steering wheel. Okay,
inside. They had 7 cops.
God.
7 police.
We had,
2 different forces. There was a police
force. We're all sitting
there
looking at each other like, I think we're all going to jail. It was kind of scary, but this is my own family that called the police on me, telling me I was armed and dangerous.
And
know?
It was complete bunk. It was absolute nonsense. But you see, that's the technique, is you destroy the credibility of the person. We were at church one day. They were talking about who would like to volunteer to help watch the kids and educate the kids. And we thought that would be fun. And then we realized, no, we can't. Because right now, as it stood at that time, we have charges of elderly abuse against us.
Yeah, my brother put false charges against us.
There was never any elderly abuse. Never happened.
But that's
the charges were filed against us.
That's the thing we're talking about.
Yeah,
well, that's the character assassination. And it goes with majority of the cases that is going on.
Right.
Anyway, we do have another caller. We've got a 239 number. Let's see if we can get this other 239 number in. Hold on a second. 239, you're on the air.
Hi. How are you? It's Hillary from Collier County. How's everyone doing?
Good. Great.
Hi.
That's good. So, thank you for calling.
My pleasure. I spoke to Peggy today, and I'm still a little reluctant about signing the forms for the lawsuit, but I am still just, I don't know, I'm so torn about what to do. I spoke to someone today. I had filled out an application or a form for my dad about a month ago, and it's Doug Franks gave me the number. I'm sure you've heard of him, yes?
Oh, yeah. Franks and Ernestine Franks. Oh, we love them both.
Yeah, we are. They're very
dear. He's a nice man. I called him a week before we were supposed to go to court, my dad and I, for his adjudication. And he gave me the number of this Amanda Haystack. She's with Disability Rights Florida.
Uh-huh.
So someone called me. One of the lawyers from her team called me today, and they do take guardianship cases. So I gave her my information, and I'm hoping that maybe something good will happen, because elderly people, they are disabled in a way, mentally incapacitated people, and it would have never happened to my father 20 years ago when he was 67, but now that he's 87, he doesn't have the fight that he did years ago, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I know.
Right, and that's they love people who are not at the peak of their strength, because just like the bullies in school who used to not pick on me but pick on the small kids, pick on the easy-to-pick-on kids,
right.
These people look for people who are handicapped in some way, have some disability in some way. Something that makes them easy target.
Yeah, we see
they don't
a want to
fight hard. They want an easy score.
No,
a criminal doesn't go to. It's got the best security. They are the ones that have the slack security. And so they're looking for people that aren't well defended. And
that's why they pick on special needs, people with special needs trusts. We've seen a lot lately.
Oh, yeah.
And people that are not able to read or write, we've seen it.
But you'd be surprised who they do pick on, though, because I'll tell you what, I've known some military people that were tough as nails.
Mm-hmm.
But for one reason or another, had a situation where they needed some help, and they'll go right after them too. I mean, it's not like they're picky. They prefer the easy mark. And of course, if you can take the kid,
as long as they're complicit,
you can avoid the shoplifting charges from taking it from the store.
Yeah.
So that's what they rather steal from the one that they can get away with.
Yeah, but I can
it's
see
odd.
Why.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see why you'd be, a little upset on, how to file or, how to do any of this, because I'm personally new to being a pro se and doing all that, and, nowadays I myself was really shy to even go in front of a judge and go in front of legislation. And now I went up there yesterday with the Judicial Performance Commissioners and just spoke out there because we know it so well. You tend not to become shy anymore. You become outspoken, and it makes you feel good when you talk in front of some people like that. It does.
When you walk up to the thing you hear and knows, it tends to disappear.
Right. I went in on Friday by myself. I sent a letter to the chief judge of the 20th Circuit, and I went into the courthouse with the same letters, basically stating how my dad's court-appointed attorney is, has stolen from him, charging him for her travel time, which is expressly denied for court-appointed attorneys. He would meet with her for 20 minutes, and she would charge him for 3 hours and 20 minutes for her round trip from Punta Gorda to where we live in Naples, and disguises it as time spent with him. So I went into the courthouse, and I am so right about everything that's going on with my dad, and I stand proud, but still, walking into that courthouse, I did have, butterflies. So I delivered the letters, not to the judge's office. You just have to sign and drop them off. And then I went to the probate office, and I know the woman, and she comes off as being very nice, barred flowers. And they have a showcase computer system where you can actually look at the documents, for the stamps, the jurors, and everything. And, of course, it was down. So I couldn't look at any of the documents. I called yesterday. Same thing. Sorry, it's not working properly. We don't know what's going on. How can this be going on? Of course, now in this situation, I don't trust anyone. So I automatically think that they're covering things, they're changing documents. This, that, and the other, but
and they do.
I
never thought that would happen.
Right.
Well, last month the computers were down over there in Collier County, so they're intentionally doing it so we can't look at the docket.
Wow, you think that's really going on? I believe it. I just believe it.
And there was a woman I just
I've heard that before, huh?
From my
Facebook account, I've been blocked.
Oh, really?
What did they?
I can't look up other people's cases. They are intentionally doing it on purpose.
They are doing it intentionally.
Well,
they
can steal evidence. They can steal doctors' records. They change doctors many times to hide. They do all kinds of bad stuff. And you know what's so sad? They're doing that to a human being that's vulnerable.
Right.
That is really criminal.
It is absolutely insane. And you know what? No one will help us.
I think that we're all making a lot of progress. I really do.
But it shouldn't be as difficult as it is.
Right.
No, it should never have gone this far. It's a criminal act. It should have never gone this far. But what I think what's happened is that they never thought that people would just begin to stand up. And people are.
And we're
and people
all
are empowered to
get everybody together.
Right.
You can't let them intimidate
yeah.
you because what makes them have more rights than you? They're thinking that they have a right to abuse an elder, and that is no right.
Right.
But that's like they have a right to take away their money and to keep them isolated and medical negligence and everything else. No,
right.
they don't have the right to do that.
No, and
it's not just the elderly being targeted; it's the young youth too, and the children.
Mm-hmm. The problem, the vulnerable, and I don't think this is what I think when this whole thing ends up being, it's going to be huge. I mean, I'm noticing that in Facebook, I'm getting a lot of people from the movies that are making friends with me. You know, that they do, I have actors that will say they'll come and do like a skit or whatever you want, Marcy. I get all these offers all the time. And, you know, all it takes is one big movie to get out there. And let me tell you something, because this that's happening to all of us can happen to them. It can happen to anyone. So no
is that will these people pull through? A lot of people say, oh, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and nothing happens. And that's what really hurts, is that you feel like no one is listening to you and that is no one is taking you seriously, that this is completely insane what is happening. The stress, our lives will never be the same, and we've done nothing wrong other than having parents who've had assets, who've had disabilities, and they've been taken advantage of. So now I'm worried that maybe one of the lawyers involved in my dad's case, my own or my dad's or my sister who started this insane situation, that they'll have my dad's information and they'll try to access his money. Because you think, if this has happened, what else can happen? I mean, the doctors from the examining committee, I mean, that's a joke. A four-hour class they have to take to decide someone's fate for life. Because we know no one gets out of guardianship, with the one exception, if you die, for the most part. Who the heck are they and the courts to say, you're a gynecologist? With my dad's situation, you're a gynecologist, you're retired, take a four-hour class, and you're in. You're friends with the judges. And again, I am so thankful for this show because I look forward to it every week because it's the only outlet I have. No one else other than my 9-year-old son will listen to me because no one gets it.
That's really what we're fighting is the ignorance and the naivete of the general public. People are unaware that this is going on. People are unaware that there are criminals operating through our courts that are actually endorsed and assisted by the courts, that the judges are on the side of the criminals, that the criminals are thriving and prospering in these courts
and being
encouraged and being helped.
Yeah, but that's kind of how we depended upon a lot of these media outlets to come to our rescue, but then we realized they couldn't air anything because they have attorneys that stopped a lot of this.
Right. Fighting, you realize that these attorneys, you know, what we're fighting is a cabal of very powerful, very rich attorneys. And of course, the reason why they're very rich is because they get their money by stealing it
from us.
They take millions at a time. They'll grab a family,
and they're all connected.
$several million. Go on to the next one,
and the judge helps them,
and these individuals are allowed to get away with all this, and the individual who's in that situation grows up in America. Well, we tend to believe that America is the land of the free, the home of the brave.
Not anymore.
Justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, and we have this whole idea that that's the way our country works. It's based on principles, the rule of law, and justice for all. And so we're brainwashed into this belief system. So when we are in those courts, we have a certain expectation. We have a certain expectation of that they're going to live up to those principles. They're going to live up to to honor those things. And then when they do not, it takes a while. At first, it's like, wait a minute, this is not how it's supposed to go. I don't understand.
You know,
this is strange. And you start going around to the other people in society that are supposed to help, like your representatives in Congress, like your representatives in the Senate, like the Attorney General, like the Department of Justice. You start going around all these people.
All of them.
We've been to all of
them.
And the
all,
number that actually do anything
help.
And help you is very, very, very small.
Yeah, very small, like the Blog Talk Radio Show host. Or
you realize
really
that there
together.
Are no heroes that are going to come and save you, that the only heroes that are
yep.
going to come and save you are the ones you grow in your own garden.
Especially, I remember,
and that's what we started
exactly.
to do with the radio show, is grow heroes. And you are our heroes. If you're out there listening, if you're out there fighting, if you're out there in one of these situations, don't look to somebody else unless they're in the same situation. Because they're not going
right.
to help. They'll try. Sometimes they will try. But sometimes they'll lie. And they don't try at all. They just lie to you to get your money. But you have to step up. You've got to find the strength within you. You've got to find the power within you that says, wait a minute. There is justice and there is truth and there is what is right and there is what is wrong. And I am on the right side. And I am on the side of justice and truth. And I'm going to stand up and fight for it. And let the consequences be what they will, because I'm on the right side.
Right.
I'm not going to fall down on this. I'm not going to give up on this, because I'm doing what's right.
Right.
And that's what my inspiration is. I get up out of bed.
Uh-huh.
I want to fight this fight because it's what's right. I am standing
yeah.
up for the good in this world, and I will defend it with my life if I have to, because that's what people do who have integrity. That's what people do who wish to prove themselves worthy of living a life that is blessed as an American by a land of justice with the rule of law that has integrity, that you actually can find in a few courts here and there once in a while.
Good job, Robin.
Yes,
I
definitely
agree. 100%. In fact, I'm going to tell somebody something. I remember my sister came to me one time, and we were talking in the car, and she goes, what happens if we go to court and that judge says, screw you and screw you and screw you and screw you? And I looked at her and I said, no, sister, we're going to go to court and we're going to get justice. And I think of that all the time to this day. That still keeps me strong, because if I would have just looked at her and said, oh, sister, you're right. You know, but it hit me like that could happen. And you know what? It did. It said, screw you, screw you, and screw you, and it happened. You know, and today I still think of that every single day when I go into a courtroom. That judge could do that to you, and they do, most of them, okay? I'm
and
just kind of not going to say all do, but the majority. But
and that's why we didn't go to court, my dad and I, because I was petrified, because my attorney, who I'm not really so happy with, she said, Hillary, there's absolutely no way if we go to court that your father will not be given a court-appointed attorney, a court-appointed guardian for his property, because you and your sister are fighting. So I relinquished my power of attorney.
Oh,
someone
my
else.
God.
That is bad.
Because
she
I was so scared.
And the court-appointed attorneys are the worst. They steal. They accuse you of stealing is because that's what they're planning on doing.
I can't believe it, because you're
yeah.
so right. And they call themselves elder attorneys. So you automatically think, oh, they're out for the betterment of, you know, the elderly community. They're such nice people. This lawyer, not only did she steal, she did not promote my father's wishes. She was adamant that he go into an assisted facility or a 24-hour locked facility. She said, you know what, he's got enough money, but that's not her money. That's not her decision to make. It was my father who said, I want to be with my daughter and my grandsons. I'm happy there. But she was so set on it. So I knew if we went to court, she would be mute. She wouldn't say a word. And then I am so emotional, I knew for the most part I would have lost it, and then that would be it. Case closed. You know, let's do the inventory of Mr. Hoag's property, and that's it. And then, you know, it's just asinine what happens. How did this happen? How did this happen that this has been legal?
Right. Yeah. We ask that every damn day, every day on our show, every day out in the public. We even talk to the Judicial Performance Commissioners and ask them, how is this legal? You know, it's like, how can you sit there and, you know, that Chris Forsythe went up there with the Judicial Integrity Project yesterday at that meeting, and he goes, you guys are being duped. Do you remember he was telling us that?
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, you guys are being used by this guy named Kent Wagner, who was in charge of that, you know, and the thought of that,
and
these
what
people.
And what he meant by that was that what he went on to explain was that there are 21 judicial performance commissions in the state of Colorado.
Right.
And out of all of those, one had a hearing this year, which, by the way, they rewrote the statute so that none need to have a hearing or have to have a hearing. They could all just go dark and not have to talk to anybody about anything they do.
One did. Boulder did.
But Boulder did hold a hearing, and for which we are grateful, and we told them,
right,
thank you very much for doing this, because it is a kindness that they weren't required to extend.
Right.
And but he said the judicial performance commissioners throughout the state, the people who run these things and set them up, are going to point to you and say, look, see, we have transparency. We have public meetings and everything. Look
mm-hmm.
at there. There they are in Boulder having a public meeting. You see, there's transparency. You don't have to worry about your court system people. You have input. You have
mm-hmm.
the opportunity to talk to the people that are telling you about these judges. It'll be good. It's all good. No need for any concern. No need for any
right.
worry.
Right.
You said,
yeah,
you know, I mean, that was the gist of it.
Yeah, that was the gist of it. But I tell you what, that was really a good meeting, and it's very powerful to get up there and talk what is on your mind. I mean, I actually enjoy going to those now because I get it off my chest.
You used to be really, your knees would shake, everything.
And it's like, I remember Rob and I have been doing Blog Talk radio shows now for 2 years. Our anniversary is up, like this week.
Uh-huh.
We've been doing it for 2 years. And I remember our mm-hmm. first show, it was so funny because we're like, what do we do? But you know what?
We had a hard time figuring it out.
If Robin and I could be radio show hosts, any one of you could do it. So, you know, I offer anybody out there that's listening, if you want to become a radio show host, I will teach you how to do that. You can come on to our station, pick one of the days out, and you can run your own show. You can talk about whatever you want and have at it. And you know what? It's really good to do that because then you can talk to other people and say, look, I'm a radio show host. I have, you know, I get these many complaints, but they start to listen to you more.
The other thing that, of course, anyone can do is if you're going into court and you realize, man, I don't know as much as an attorney, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this off, and I'll do the legal research I can. I'll network with the people that can help me. I'll try my best, but God knows what'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, each person that comes on this show that you hear talking about how they're making progress and how they look
mm-hmm.
like they've had some victories and it looks like they're moving in the right direction.
Like
each
maybe.
One of those started out a sprout. They weren't a strong oak tree.
Mm-hmm.
They were a little tiny seed.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just as timid and frightened at one time, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
as you might feel.
Right.
But they made up their mind that they had to stand up and do something. And they did, and they kept at it. And
that's
what happens
yeah.
is you begin to grow. You begin to develop strength. For years, you know, for at least the first year that we were doing this show, I had a hard time seeing any progress. I was talking to my own mother. I said, Mom, we go and beat this thing, and it's like beat the dead horse. I don't know if we're doing anything. I don't know if we're making anything happen at all. I don't know if we're doing any good. The monster is too big. We're too small. She said, Robin, I want to remind you how the civil rights movement started.
Yeah.
I'm from the South, and our family was, my father was a minister, and we were taught prejudice is wrong. And we were standing with just a few other families. It was a very tiny, very small movement against a very large and intimidating enemy. And we just kept at it. We just kept at it. We just kept on trying and kept on standing up. And our ranks grew, and people heard what we had to say, and people considered it, and it moved in their hearts. And they began to have passion. And they began to have commitment. And they began to take action with us. And our actions grew bigger, and our hearts grew bigger as we were rewarded by the fact that people were listening now.
Yeah.
And so they grew stronger, we grew stronger. Eventually, we made a lot of progress in that. And I want you to understand that every time there is some dramatic change, a change in the social order, like it will be when we are finally able to create accountability in our courts and these criminals are held accountable for their crime, on that day we will look back and realize that it was just a few of us that just stood up and said, look, we better grow some superheroes because we need them. Let's start networking and working together and make some things happen. Never quit. Never, never give up. Never think that your efforts are useless or needless or worthless. You are heroes, every one of you, just by the fact that you're willing to stand up and say, I don't like it, and I'm going to tell somebody.
So, Peggy, anything else you want to tell us tonight? I know that you could probably go into more.
What I want to focus on is it's very important for every group that does want to become a pro-seed is you need to start working on your pattern and practice. So your statistics of your evidence to show the court when you go to the U.S. Supreme Court or the U.S. District Court or the U.S. Supreme Court, you must start gathering statistic evidence, pattern, and practice to show with your classification there was definitely civil violations being going on. And that's why I'm trying to keep going on your shows. I want to go and get me a Blog Talk Radio, too, because I'm trying to keep – like you said, I started out as a little seed. I'm still blooming as a flower. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm never going to stop learning this because it's an ongoing issue. The laws constantly are changing, revolving, so you have to change when they change. So I'm trying to find more victims. Like you said, we start out small. We grow and grow, and change will come then when we all get together and unite with each other, not just the state of Florida, Colorado, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Florida. All these different states need to start coming together. And we just now started our group in Florida, and you've got yours going great in Colorado. We just need more states on, more states listening to your show, and continue growing. And we will grow. It just takes time. Once people start seeing that we are excelling, we are growing in our cases, and we're winning, more people will not be scared. Like, Hillary, I know you're scared to death. I was never scared because it's like this. My son's in a river, and he's drowning, so my adrenaline is kicked in to go out there and save him. So, honestly, I'm not scared. I'm forced to learn. I'm determined to learn because if I do not learn the proper way, I will drown in this river, and that's the way you have to look at it for your father. You have to find something inside of you that's going to bring it out on you to get you the strength that you need to proceed on, because no attorney will take our case. I went over 400 because they're scared of losing their career. You have to be strong. And as a group, if you're stronger, you get more people like me and others that's learning. There's always going to be somebody that knows more than me or you. You just have to keep connecting with the people like Luann and me and, you know, Marcy, other people that's trying different things, get other ideals. It's a learning experience for all of us. Continue listening to people that's learning and that's winning cases, and you take a little bit of their information and you apply it to yours. You keep building it, and that's how you're going to succeed in your case, you know, getting your father out of this guardianship. And I know I'll get my son out of this guardianship. It's going to take time, and I understand, and I have the patience.
Right. And that's the same thing with my sister and I mean, we have, you know, a public administrator that's still sucking down our trust. I'm going to say it out loud. And there's no reason for her to do that because my mother's in a nursing home. But I'm telling you right now, if my sister and I did not keep on what we were keeping on, and we didn't pose a threat to these attorneys because I just sort of knew that you couldn't do it with these people because they're just going to come back at you. My sister and I did finally get guardianship of my mother, and which we're really glad because now the kids are able to see her, the grandkids, and it's so much better of a situation. And we, you know, we don't isolate my mom. She's welcome to see anybody except for the few people, you know, our brother.
They have actually abused her.
Abused her in the past. I don't let him go see her. And if he does, he's going to, I'm going to be there if he ever decides to do that. But you know what? My mom is just so loved in the place she's at. And it, I want this for every senior in the United States to live their golden years life out, their golden life out. Their years are to be sacred, the end of their life. And if they want to spend
exactly.
it with their mother, their daughter, their wife, whoever, they should be able to do that. There's no reason to take these people for their money. And that's what pisses me off because they're so vulnerable. You know, I hate that. I hate it when I go over to the nursing home and I see these people that are so helpless and then these perpetrators and they're stealing their money, stealing their profits. It makes me ill. It makes me angry. It makes me want to keep fighting.
You know, I do want to address one thing, that we have been talking all night about how these people go after the vulnerable, and that's absolutely true. They do. But they also go after the people that don't seem so vulnerable. They go after anybody. They go after, they're now they're trying to make it a law that the homeless can be guardianized, which means they're going to take those homeless, they're going to take them into their own facility, get them on Social Security, collect all their Social Security money and give them $44 a month after they've taken the $1,600
right.
bucks a month that they get for Social
that one,
Security.
That one woman has 1,000 people like that up in Michigan.
Right.
The Guardian has 1,000 people. She's giving them $44 a month. She's taking their Social Security money, and she puts them in homes with about 8 people. Look how good of a profit that is, and it makes me ill that is allowed to happen today.
But it's not always. It's, you know, I mean, these can be people who are vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
or these can be people who are made vulnerable by the wiles and trickery and stealth and low down dirty dealing of the people that they deal with. There are people that are gonna that come in and do this to you. And, you know, you don't have to have a problem. They can go to the court and say that you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to have a disability. They can go to the court and say that you do.
Right.
They can say that you
right.
need help. Say that you're
anyone
mentally unbalanced.
Can say anything.
And in this type of court,
right.
the judge will say, that's all I need to hear. You mm-hmm. tell me that person needs the help, guardianize them.
Right.
So be it.
So
and
be
I'll
it.
Sign that paper. And next thing you know, the sheriff is coming to your house, taking you away and locking you up because you've been guardianized. Now you don't own anything. You don't have a voice. You can't hire an attorney. You can't see your family or talk to them unless your guardian decides it's okay, which they hardly ever do. And your
right.
life
and
is for all purposes over. You're forced
to
It can be anyone.
Yeah. Right. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry. My sister, the whole thing with my dad, it was the definition of a bad faith filing. Everything that she said about my father was a lie. But honestly,
right.
with all the research I've done about guardianship and incapacity, I've never heard of one person being prosecuted or any pursuit about someone who's done a filing filled with lies. Never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
well,
I'd love to prosecute my sister, but I've never heard of anyone making a case. And everything she said was a lie, but what can I do?
Right. You know, we've got about 5 minutes of the show. The show left. I got a moth flying around me. It's driving me nuts. But anyway, we have 5 minutes left. Gosh, thank you guys for coming on. Peggy, why don't you go ahead and give us a closing statement?
Well, if you know anybody that wants to join, we have the first group started. Give me a call. You have my telephone number in Collier County. Remember, it's in Collier, Lee, Glades, Henry, and Charlotte County. Have them contact us right away because our next phase may close their gap from them getting in. So I'm trying to help as many people as I can. I can't disclose what's fixing to happen, but it's going to be big and it's going to help a lot of people. But I got to get them in the gateway, you know, file that. All they're doing basically is just filing their intentions. They're not doing anything else. And then they will be screened, and we'll go from there. I can't disclose how we're going to help them, but we do have professional help, but I can't disclose any on here because I've worked so hard at getting what I got. I don't want to scare anybody. You know what I'm saying, Luann? So I definitely will reach out to you and share the information I've learned today on how you can get your group on TV. And our group's going to be going on TV and all the different channels very shortly here. So that's wonderful. And then I'm going to share you the information so you can get your group on TV too, exposing the corruption in Colorado and as well as the state of Florida too. So the more we can link up with other states and then share this information. And by the way, I found a loophole to get in free so it doesn't cost us any money. So that's going to be helpful for a lot of people that's struggling financially as well.
Good. Hey, we got one more caller on. Let's bring him on. 714, do you have something to talk about?
Ed, hello. 714, you're on the air.
Hello, Robin.
Hi.
Man. It's Karen Federicki.
Karen,
nice to hear from you. How are you?
Karen.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. I just want to say what Peggy, this group, I'm part of it. What we're doing is extremely important. Everyone who should, who has second thoughts about doing what we're doing, remember, there's power in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The courts can easily turn away one person, whether they go pro se or with a lawyer. But when groups of people start filing with the courthouses, they're going to get scared. And they're not going to be able to continue abusing us and not following the law. We want to hold them accountable, and this is a way to do it.
Right.
I agree.
Wow. Excellent. And you are also held down and guardianized also, Karen. We followed your story for a long time. I'm so glad you're speaking out. I'm so glad that you've come up from this. You know, you were really depressed for a long time, and you were just really beat down.
You're one of those grow-your-own superheroes is what you are.
Well, one thing we have to remember is the courts are not only guardianizing the disabled and the elderly. They're going after perfectly healthy people like me.
Right.
I'm a registered nurse with two jobs. I'm not even elderly. And they came after me. And people ought to be afraid, because if they're just literally kidnapping people like me off the street, what's going to stop them from kidnapping whoever's listening to this Blog Talk Radio broadcast or anybody else?
Exactly. I wait for it every day to try to throw me in
and
there.
To tell you the truth, Karen, that is one of the things that makes me so willing to fight, because there's this chance that one day they're going to show up for me. And at that time, they're going to take away my voice. They're not going to let me speak. I'll be locked in handcuffs and put in a cage, and they're not going to let me talk, and they're not going to let me speak. You know, these things can be taken away. So I have my voice now, and I can speak, and I see it being done to a lot of people, and I damn well care. So I'm going to do what I can with the freedom and the liberty and the justice in my heart to fight for those people that are being affected now in hopes that maybe I might be one of those who is spared in the future, along with hundreds or thousands or millions of others.
They're not going to ever shut me up.
I'll
change my voice. I'll change my name, but they're never going to shut me up.
Well.
I'll tell you that right. It's not going to happen.
Well,
you know, I'll try my damnedest, you know, to keep on talking about this.
Right. Well, I mean,
it is,
I mean, Karen knows that it can be a real war.
It's a real war.
And she knows because she's been in the front line.
Well, Karen has
nobody should have to. No law-abiding citizen should have to escape from Collier County, flee the state, and live on the land for 10 months. No law-abiding citizen should have a warrant out for their arrest. And by the way, Hillary, that retired gynecologist is the same man that made my life a living hell. He ended up recusing himself.
Wow.
But I'll tell you, I have found that nobody receives justice in Collier County, so it's really important that anybody you know, anybody who's afraid to come forward, you know that there are safety in numbers.
Right.
That's so true.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Yeah, that's good.
So, folks, if you're listening tonight and you are in one of the counties that Peggy mentioned, or you know someone who is, please get in touch with us. You can contact Lulu at faceus.org or a Facebook Face Us group.
You can. I'll tell you how to do that. And it's Luann, L-U-A-N-N-E, at faceus.org or info@faceus.org. You can send us an email or Families Against Court Embezzlement and Ethical Standards Face Us. We're on Facebook. And you can also reach Robin Austin. He's on Facebook. You can find him anywhere, right?
Well, I don't spend a lot of time
he's
online,
not,
so
he's
it's
not
a little
on
hard
there as much as I
get
am.
Me to
I'm on there
respond,
daily.
But
yes.
She'll respond to you.
But you can go look at the videos we put on there today.
And we will help you network with
Peggy.
Peggy.
We'll get you in touch with
and
Peggy.
And her group, and I guess Karen also. But so we'll be able to connect you with them. And we'll of course vet you a little bit, talk with you about what your situation is, and try to put you together with some people that can help you. So, and that goes for not only this situation, but any situation. If you get in touch with us and you let us know what's going on, if there is someone we can network you with that can help, we'll do our best to do that. If there is some way that we can help, we'll do our best to do that.
Right, and I see what. This has been an amazing event for us. We've been doing this for 2 years now. Can you believe that? It's been 2 years we've been doing Blog Talk Radio shows. And I tell you what, when we first started, we aired out of McDonald's. We aired out of all kinds of places. Remember that? We, could, we had so many. You do have
internet problems.
Had
to go to a friend of a friend's house and use their internet to do our show.
How many times we ran home and got there at 1 second before the shows were to begin. I
Your
mean,
show will begin in 4 seconds.
We're like, oh. But we've done it, you know, and anybody else can do that too. So if you want a Blog Talk Radio channel, let us know, and we'll get you training on that. But we just want to thank you so much, Peggy. Thank you, you know, Karen, Hillary, all of you for coming on.
I just hope I'm helpful tonight.
What'd you say?
I said, I hope this information was helpful to people that might not have known how to do this because it is scary, and I hope this helps them so they can start coming out themselves and doing something to advocate, to stand strong, to show the court that we're no longer going to tolerate this criminal civil violation in this country.
Exactly.
And,
well,
and we do want to follow up with you again, Peggy, have you on again. When you have some more that you can share, or if you had some that you didn't get a chance to share, we'd like to follow up with that too. So
you can also come on as a co-host if you want to do that with us too, so you can start learning Blog Talk Radio.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that would
love to do
that. That would be a really fun on your part. I'll let you run your show. You can do whatever you talk about, whatever you want.
Yeah, we'll teach you how it's done, and
we'll teach you how it's done. So, but that'll be a lot of fun. But I'm gonna play a Sharman's song that she has called My Last Regret, and she also is in Nashville. I think she's still in Nashville or Las Vegas or somewhere, but she's putting on this song called My Last Regret that she made, you know, with her mother, about her mother when she was in guardianship. It's a beautiful song. She's got a beautiful voice. We're going to play that at the end of our show, so please listen to it. It's beautiful.
We thank you all. God bless us, everyone. Remember, justice
thank
requires
you.
Transparency and accountability. You're
good night,
welcome.
Everybody.
Good night.
Appreciate you all coming on. You all have a very nice day. Transparency, judicial accountability, we need it. Never giving up is never an option, never, ever. Okay,
never,
so we're going to go ahead and play that. Good night, everybody.
I've been lying. The day we met, the day forever was set, and how much time we've got left, I find myself. Regret.